Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning. Oh, I'm drowning in papers here. Hi, my name is Andrea Simintov, and you are listening to Pull Up a Chair on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. Nice show ahead, friendly show ahead. Oh, very sweet. I'm saying good morning and good evening to those listening in from the United States, from Canada, from Eretz Israel, Boker Tov, from Australia this morning, which is like already afternoon there. The UK is listening in, Germany, Russian Federation, and Austria. Haven't seen you in a while, Austria. Okay, so today's show, I can't even remember what I called it. I'll get back to you on that in a minute. But I'm just thinking, here we are leaving. We're leaving Tisha B'Av. I believe that our last show, we were talking about what was the commemoration of the destruction of the temple, really the destruction of the Jewish people as we were dispersed into the diaspora, which is why I say good morning to all those listening in from overseas, because I do believe it's the things that unite us, which really do will bring us together. So we did Eicha last week. We're still in the month of Av, and I hope that your fast went well for those of you who fast. Today's show, as we start wending our way toward the season of Elul, the High Holy Days, which are, again, I think, seven weeks ago. Today's show, actually, the idea was spurred by my dear friend Kathy, who is suddenly, out of nowhere, very surprisingly, just deliciously, beginning to immerse herself in a way of learning, a real kind of an attitude to do the mind work, the heart work, the soul work that is needed at this time of year. And I felt ashamed that I hadn't thought about it, but thank you, Kathy, because we can all begin to think about it together in this time and use these next few weeks to speak with one another. The chat room is open. Please drop me a note. Tell me where you're listening in from. And also, if you'd like to make a phone call and say hi, feel free. I can find a minute to speak to anybody who calls in today. My name is Andrea Simintov, and guess what? I'll see you on the other side.
How did a nice Jewish girl from Delaware end up living in Israel?
Shalom, I'm Natalie Sapinski. Join me on my show, Returning Home. Meet different people who have moved to Israel. Hear their personal stories, their highs, their lows, and everything in between. Each week, we talk to experts on immigration and the process of moving to Israel. Listen to Returning Home every Thursday, only on Israel News Talk Radio.
Okay, we're back. My name is Andrea Simintov, and you are listening to Pull Up a Chair on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. I had to actually go back into Facebook to see, what did you call the show today? Yeah, and thanks to Kathy, we're calling today's show Countdown to Blessings. Because, I mean, every day is a countdown. Every day we want to immerse ourselves in, not necessarily prayer, but an awareness to all we have, all we've been blessed with. And this is the time, I would say deliberately, the time where the summer seems to, now that we're done with Tisha B'Av, now we're sort of sitting in this vacuum, just this vacuum of hedonistic pleasure. Well, not so much in a world of COVID. So what can we use these days for? To count down toward blessing. But what can we do to make it happen? I was thinking of you and me. Oh, by the way, South Africa has joined us this morning, as has Brazil. Okay, good morning, everybody. I understand that things are a little quieter now in South Africa, although indeed we can't get complacent. A lot of work a lot of work, a lot of thought has to go into what happened. Sad, heartbreaking, powerful, and not for this show. Okay. Hugging you guys down there. All right. So I was thinking about it on Motzi Shabbos, Saturday night. Shabbos came out, and quickly we said a very fast Havdalah, and everybody ran to their respective Echa readings, okay, the book of Lamentations. And every year I get another kind of inspiration. It was three, four years ago on Echa that I actually came out of Echa and I no longer ate meat. A lot of things kind of triggered and happened that way. This time there was a quiet realization. I was sitting outside of the old city, overlooking the walls, overlooking the Tower of David and the walls of the Jaffa Gate. And it was a lovely reading, all different generationally, ethnically. It was really all levels of observance. And I thought to myself, how powerful. I am listening to Echa, where it happened. I'm dwelling in the holiest city on earth. And I thought to myself, do we tarnish this? Do we obsess and we dwell on the mundane? How many of us wade in just the superficial, focusing on the shallow and avoiding responsibility? Responsibility of, wait, it's very noisy in here suddenly. Anybody hear that? You know, we focus on the shallow, and all eyes of the world, they look on us, our behaviors, our moods, our depth or lack thereof, our competency, our holiness. You know what? It's a very humbling feeling. Personally, my fast went well. It went too well. I sometimes feel embarrassed. Like, I want to suffer more. It's part of my DNA. And to anyone who complains about the fasting, I say, seriously, it's an honor. We are asked for so little. It is so small. And it gives us an opportunity to say, okay, yes, I will. Saying yes takes training. I digress. I have so much noise around here this morning in my home studio, and I realized they're taking out the garbage in the street, and it is so, so noisy. So what did I do? Oh, and on Tisha B'Av, of course, I listened to I listened to some Shirim, some very nice Tisha B'Av. I listened actually to a website, nice website called Na'ale. Anybody who writes to me, I'll send you the link. Beautiful. I listened to Rebbetzin Heller Gottlieb. I listened to Leah Cohen. I listened to Shira Smiles. It was very, very nice. Okay, talking about humbling, being a grandparent is very expensive. I know we have a lot of grandparents listening in. You know, even when I don't open up my wallet, I'm opening up my wallet. So what have I learned this week about grandparenting? Just this week, the kids are kind of in between camp and school. Camp in Israel is like no other experience. I have a granddaughter. I kid you not. She's 16 years old. I'm not going to say she's immature. She's 16 years old. She's not a kind of precocious 16-year-old. She's not one of these, you know, she's a very religious girl, very, very yashar, we say. And I find out she's the assistant head counselor in the camp. And how do I know who I am? How do I know that I became old? Instead of saying, oh, I'm so delighted. I like hearing that, to see that you're taking responsibility. The first thing I said to her was, does the camp have insurance? So and she didn't know what insurance was. So as far as not being my job to parent and it being expensive, if I keep up this grandparenting, taking them in between before the camp start, I'm going to be a whale. I'm going to be so, we're eating constantly. It's not my job to teach them. I mean, I said, well, I'll demonstrate good eating behavior. No, they demonstrate sitting up, bagels, popcorn, Oreos, ice cream. What else? Fries. I'm discovering who makes the best fries in the city. I'm going to need double the size studio if I keep this up. So we have to have just presents, maybe cut some vegetables together, something like that. All right. Something this week also, I don't know, drop me a note on the chat line, or again, write to me at Andrea@IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. I'd like to know if you have had surprises from, if not your own grandchildren, but your children, nieces, nephews, neighbor kids. I took another set of grandchildren to the museum this week. They had never been to the museum. And of course, I was very careful. I assured their parents we wouldn't be looking at naked people. Although that's not true. They have like naked exhibits all over the museum. It's not so attractive. But anyway, I took these grandchildren to the museum, and I tried to take them only to exhibits that would kind of elicit interest. And I have to tell you, I took them to the Judaica because they're all in yeshivas. So I took them to, you know, the history. They have replicas of synagogues and beautiful, real sukkahs that they took out of Sukkot, you know, the tabernacle booths that they took out of Europe prior to the war. They smuggled them out. And I thought that this stuff would kind of excite them and elicit conversation. One of my grandsons, he's only 10 years old, 10 and a half, he went off into a room that I wanted to grab him back from because I didn't want them to get bored and be sworn off to museums forever. And it was a room where it was a dark room, and they had showcases filled with calligraphy and the artwork that went into illustrating families' prayer books in the 1300s, 1400s, 1500s, the painstaking mixing of the dyes and the illustrations that would go into a Passover Haggadah, a Purim Megillah. And the children, instead of being bored in this exhibit, they were absolutely spellbound. And I realized that they were very taken by the labors, the effort of people who might spend an entire life on one commission, and the painstaking effort it took to create. We ended up having a picnic and discussing the days of creation. What could that have been? And when they were talking about this artwork to me, one of them said, "Grandma, we throw everything away today." You know, I wasn't going to be the one to discuss with him disposable relationships, disposable dishes, disposable clothing, disposable attitudes. And here, out of the mouths of babes, they were so taken by the deliberateness and the value in the things that stay, the things that remain. And then we went off into another exhibit where they began to understand a pot. When we find a shard, digging in the desert, and we find a shard, a clay shard, instead of seeing it as, like, big deal, another clay shard. We live in the land of clay shards here. They understood that it was an oil pot, and a family's oil pot was very precious. An iron plate with your initials carved into it was your plate. And you took it with you from birth until death. Because if you didn't have that plate, it would be very, very hard to get another plate. I have to tell you, I was blown away by their ability to take in through the silence of experience. One other thing I do want to share with you, they have these beautiful, actually, they're not recreated, but they're the actual synagogues taken. One is from Italy, one is from Cochin, I believe, India, and the other one is from Suriname. Suriname is the, I think I spoke about it last week, but anyway, we were talking about the sand. And again, I spoke about it last week, but it really stuck with me. The sand on the floor of the Suriname synagogues, that it was there for one of three purposes, and the jury is still out. The first jury says that it was there to absorb, you know, it came actually, it was Dutch originally, to absorb the dirt from the street off of the wooden clogs. The other reason was Reason number two, it was to muffle the sound of the conversos, those who were forced to convert to Christianity but were still practicing Judaism. But the third reason was because in any synagogue outside of Israel, we are walking in the sand. We are still in the Midbar. We are still traveling to the Promised Land. That's my favorite. Okay, my name is Andrea Simintov, and on to other good stuff when we return.
Shalom, everybody. Making a difference often takes just one moment and one person at a time. I am Orly Benny Davis, your show host on Israel News Talk Radios from Jerusalem with love. You'll be hearing people talking about politics, religion, social issues, and making a better tomorrow. Join me, Orly Benny Davis, for God and Country from Jerusalem with love.
Wednesdays on Israel News Talk Radio.
Okay, we're back. That was a short break. My name is Andrea Simintov, and you are listening to Pull Up a Chair at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com, the place to be, especially in these days. Let me just take a look here. Yeah, so like this week's Parsha, this week's Torah reading, we're actually beginning this seven-week period of consolation and condolence that bridges that time between Tisha B'Av and Rosh Hashanah. And we're going to get to the Devar Torah section afterwards. But nevertheless, I know that because, as I said, my friend who, again, lives a very secular lifestyle, but I couldn't be friends with somebody who wasn't deeply spiritual. And it was really Kathy who is kind of inspiring me to start asking those questions. And when this comes out on podcast later, you can take notes because I'm going to speak very quickly now. I wrote down a whole bunch of questions, actually coming from my friend Joel Padowitz, who wrote a book called 40 Days to a New You. Don't look for it yet. I'm waiting to hear from Joel to see if it's findable, if we can order it from Amazon. Okay, mine was, I borrowed it from Moshe Rabbeinu. But anyway, well, some of the questions he asks, and I'm starting to ask myself, are what kind of a friend or a parent or a grandparent would I like to be? How would I act in public if I could be better? How would I run my private affairs if I could be my new me? What habits do I want to break? How do I want to speak? How would I devote my time, my energies, the better me? What would I kind of veer toward? What would I like to understand that I'm not understanding yet? What spheres would I like to have better control over? Oh my gosh, that's a long list. It's a big Andrea list. What things would I rather not keep popping up and repeating in my mind and taking up precious mind space? What condition do I want my body to be in? In what areas would I like to exercise more caution? In what areas would I like to be more carefree? These are just some of the things that I'm beginning to think about. And I thought that, why should I be the only one tortured? Come and join me. All right. So let's see. What else do we want to talk about? Yeah. So one of the other reasons, again, that even earlier in the program, unlike other times, I'm kind of honing in on the spirituality is because as we're getting toward these holy days, I hear so many people say, I didn't grow up religious. I knew nothing. So much still challenges me. I don't believe in A. I don't believe in C. And item P really doesn't hit me the right way. And I thought to myself, it's very important that we recognize in ourselves what we can do to improve our personal lots, the mazel of our families, how we can add to the world, and how we can receive abundant blessing. This has nothing to do with what yeshiva we did or didn't go to. And there's a lovely quote. Now, the quote is so lovely, I can't even tell you where it came from. Here's the quote. He whose father did not have him taught is obliged to teach himself when he reaches the age of discernment. Learning precedes action, for learning leads to action. Action does not necessarily lead to learning, end quote. Okay? So none of us are off the hook. My father didn't teach me. I didn't hear. I didn't know. Yeah, well, guess what? Good morning. It's a new day. And guess who's in charge? You and God. Okay, coronavirus. How can we have a show and not mention COVID? My friends, it is scary out there. It is very scary, even for those of us who have been double immunized and had, I guess, maybe a feeling of cockiness, a feeling of protection, a feeling of je ne sais quoi. We're just out there. And what are the numbers? Let me just see. Of 143 people that are hospitalized, as of midnight last night, 58% of them were vaccinated, 39% were not at all vaccinated, 3% were partially vaccinated. I believe that was the situation in South Africa of my beloved Machutin, my in-law, Lenny, who I think he had one vaccination before he succumbed. So the numbers are rising. It's very scary. I feel a little bit like an idiot today. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. And I think that the best thing we could do is maybe, aside from protecting ourselves, aside from doing everything we can to, the answer is, by the way, for those of you who sit and say, well, I want it. I'm so happy I had it, or it's, I wouldn't mind if I got it because then I will build up immunity. I will build up antibodies. Stop. Dopey, 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 dopey. If you haven't gotten it, do everything you can not to, because the jury is in heaven and we really do not know what the repercussions are for us later down the road in terms of our health. So that is my, that's all. I don't want to talk anymore about COVID. Not because I'm bored by COVID, but because I think I'm a little scared. Let's see. Oh yeah, 15 of the 20 people who died this month in Israel were fully vaccinated. Okay, so let's say something good. Let me tell you something terrific. Israel's Technion, anybody listening to the show has a deep feeling for Israel. Okay, nobody, we don't have any enemies listening in, only friends of Israel are listening in. These are facts. Okay, facts is created by me. Anyway, apparently Israel's Technion, I cannot get over it, that in 2019, that was like 2 years ago, the Haifa Institute, they bought over 2.3 million disposable cups, nearly a million single-use teaspoons, and hundreds of thousands of other single-use items. You know what? Just because it's the way we always did it doesn't mean it's the way we have to do it. And they just announced this past Monday that from October 1st, not far away, it will no longer buy disposable plastic utensils and is moving to boost its sustainability practices. I can't tell you how high I am from that information. I really do believe, and I'm very much off script now, there's a lot of things we have to fear on the day of our personal judgments when we stand at the gates of heaven. But I do not know what the answer is going to be when we are asked, what did we do to protect this earth that we profess to love? It's as simple as that. And I remember having a conversation with a step-grandchild recently who we were at the house, and I said to her, you know, please bring me a real glass. You know, what can I do? I said, I try to set an example just for myself. And she said to me, and I said, and she was talking about different things, political. She's one of these young girls that's kind of coming into her own and discovering and making observations. And she said, you never drink, you know, you never use plastic. And I said, no, I don't. I love this earth. And she said, I would like to also not use it, but in our family we do. So that's what they do. And we had a little discussion. You know, sometimes our parents can be wrong. We have to respect our parents. We're obligated. We have to honor our mothers and our fathers. but we also have the right to say no and be better. I hope that my parents essayed to be better than their parents. I essay to be better. In some ways, I can never even reach the shoelaces of my parents. But our job is to be hishtadlus in the process. And I think one of the greatest gifts we can give our kids today is that our children are starting to develop a social awareness, a political acuteness, a moral backbone, not to belittle them, but to celebrate them. Okay, so kol hakavod to the Technion, and for any of us, oh, look at this. Yeah, so the Technion is really into it. Let's see, science says lasting relationships come down to, you guessed it, kindness and generosity. Don't have time today. All right, let's get past that. Hold on. Andrea's flipping through the pages. No, maybe not. Maybe we will talk a little bit about that. Crazy, not a Jewish subject, but it's a very Jewish subject. Science says that lasting relationships come down to kindness and generosity. And we're in the month of June, which is a very popular wedding month. I'm surprised. It says only about 13,000 American couples will say, I do. Doesn't that sound like a little number, 13,000? I thought it was much more. But anyway, they will commit to this lifelong relationship that will be full of friendship, joy, and love, and they expect it to carry it through forward to their final days on this earth, except the facts are it doesn't always work that way. The majority of marriages, this is shocking, it fails. It either ends in divorce, separation, a lot of bitterness, dysfunction, children, very sad, not knowing. So social scientists have been studying marriages, and again, the more we give, we know this. Rabbi Dessler in Mechtav Me'eliyahu talks about how much we can give. And the more we give, the more we celebrate, the more we accept, and the kinder we are. I would say kindness is the more forgiving we have a better chance of having these relationships last. Let's see, anything else I want to say about that? No examples. I'm not a psychotherapist. There's a lot of reasons that relationships fail, but with at least those elements, let's put it this way, friends. If we practice more kindness, if we practice more patience, if we practice more giving, well, how can we get it wrong? We can't. Even if the relationship doesn't last, we will leave a world that is kinder, more patient, more giving. It's win-win for everyone. When we come back, we're going to do Devar Torah, and let's change our lives forever together.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
This is Shai Ben-Tekoa, and each week I'll be webcasting to you from Judea, origin of the word Jew, a people besieged and beleaguered in every generation. Nazi Germany's but a memory, but in its place the world invented the phantom Palestinians as this generation's internationally authorized Jew killers. Tune in for a different slant on life in Israel, Phantom Nation, every Monday.
Hi, I'm Rabbi David Aaron. The soul basics are the most profound, the most essential, and yet often the most neglected in our education. Join me for Soul Talk on Israel's News Talk Radio and discover the secrets to love, spiritual growth, and personal power.
We're back. Andrea Simintov, pull up a chair on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. I hope you can hear the show clearly. Hannah's listening in, and she said that there was a vibration or an echo on this microphone. Let me have a sip of coffee. Hello? Okay. I'm very excited. Wait a second. We're in the Devar Torah section. I'm not supposed to be talking about the mundane, the profane. We separate the holy and the profane, but I just wanted to say I'm very excited. Hopefully tomorrow morning, I'm going I seem to go away for Shabbos a lot. I don't know where it is. Obviously, I hate to cook so much that I'll go anywhere, okay? But anyway, tomorrow I'm going up to the border. I believe it's the Syrian border, to a community called Tel Chai, right near Kiryat Shemona. And very beautiful up there. This country has everything. It is said that in Israel, every type of climate exists. Every type of foliage exists. So I am very excited. I'm going to be way up north. I go once a year. I go actually with the Shalva. Shalva is the Association for Mentally and Physically Challenged Children in Israel. And my husband works for Shalva. And I'm very fortunate. I get to go to summer camp for a few days every year. And I have to tell you, these people that work with these fantastic kids with myriad special needs. It's great. It's a Shabbos where I do a lot of learning. So I hope I'll have fabulous thoughts to share next week. All right. So in this week's Torah portion, Vayetchanan, Moshe cries to God, "Let me go over." Remember, he's been forbidden to enter the Holy Land. "Let me go over, I pray. Let me see the good land." Well, isn't it obvious that if Moshe actually will go over to the land, he'll be able to see it? Of course, right? Well, maybe not. Maybe the Torah is making a statement here that man has to pray all the times that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, blessed be He, allows us to see the good in everything. It's not enough to lay our eyes on it. What are we actually seeing it? Moshe is saying, "Let me go over and see the good side of the promised land." That's a little knock on the head. How many of us living in Israel and loving Israel see only the negative? Are we flawed? I guess so. Came across a lovely, lovely quote from the Sefer, the book Chavos HaLevavos, okay? And it says, "Words are the pen of the heart. Guard them carefully." Before we go on into the meat and potatoes of the Dvar Torah, I want to throw out, because sometimes I rush at the end. You know, I watch the engineers like telling me how much time I have, and I forget to leave a message that all of us together listening in can share at our respective Shabbos tables around the world. So this is the thought I came with today. Devarim, that's the book of the Torah, it states that you shall do what is upright and good in the eyes of the Lord. Okay, anybody can read that. We shall do what is upright and good in the eyes of the Lord. So Rabbi Mordechai Katz cites the comments of Rashi and the Ramban. What is it really saying? The Torah means for us to go above and beyond the letter of the law in serving God and in aiding one's fellow man. These are critical thoughts for right now, especially as we're getting into the season of judgment. It is more commonly known as the principle of Lifni Mishorat HaDin. Rabbi Katz says, one who insists on contributing only the minimum amount possible for tzedakah, or who gives his parents and teachers only the barest respect, or who spends only a minuscule portion of the day learning Torah, he might be adhering to the letter of the law, but can he do better? Most certainly. That's our Shabbos table thought for this week. Okay, we'd have to turn on the fan. I'm dying here. Hold on a minute, boys and girls. Okay, here we go. All right, so in this week's Parsha, as I said, we're beginning this seven-week period of, how do we say, consolation and condolence, and we're bridging that space between Tisha B'Av and Rosh Hashanah. Lest anybody think, well, nothing's going on between Tisha B'Av and Rosh Hashanah. No really good holidays, no good cheesecakes, no good, no good fancy clothing. In order to properly prepare for this coming year and the challenges, we have to first be comforted by this vision of better times ahead and belief in our ability to overcome the challenges that lie in our path. Healing can only occur when one believes that there's a future. And that's a very important point. You know, we even know about people who have an illness that could be terminal, could not be terminal, and the doctor will say, well, it really depends on the patient. When a patient gives up hope, a patient gives up life. The patient that has hope can make medical, can have medical have medical miracles. And all doctors agree that hope and optimism on the parts of patients are really very great aids in the process of recovering from illness. If we wouldn't have time and vision to recover from the sadness before the advent of the high holy days, recovering from the sadness of Tisha B'Av, then the most meaningful days of our year, they would be, how do we say this, diminished, okay? Diminished in our minds and hearts. Throughout the book of Dvarim, Moshe's pain at not being allowed to enter the land of Israel is constantly present. It almost like hangs like a film. But Moshe is strengthened, and he even finds like a kind of consolation by his vision of his student and his loyal disciple, Yehoshua. Yehoshua. I think that's Joshua. Is that Joshua? The engineer will have to tell me. In English, that Yehoshua is going to succeed him in the leadership of Israel and is going to conquer the land and is going to settle the land. Now, comfort and consolation, nechama, peace in one's heart, it comes in various forms. But what comforts one individual might not be effective for somebody else. We can agree that such consolation is a necessary ingredient in restoring and rehabilitating those who are terribly depressed and terribly saddened. There is no substitute, at least none that I can find, for consolation and healing. But without it, we can't continue in this light. The Parsha also deals with the Ten Commandments. We're going to hear a lot of talk about the Ten Commandments. You know, Rabbi Wein brings down that the constant repetition of the subject, it seems to be adequately covered once in the book of Shemot. So why are we bringing it up again? The first Ten Commandments were given at the beginning of this Jewish day. Actually, I don't even think they were in the Midbar, in the desert for 2 weeks at Sinai. They got the Ten Commandments. At the beginning of their exodus from Egypt, there was no golden calf. There was no complaining about the manna. There were no spies. There was no Korach who tried to bring down Moshe. There were no plagues. There were no snakes. Nothing had happened to diminish the light and the aura of Sinai. It's such a perfect society. There's no reason not to recognize the values and the laws of the Asarah HaDibrot, the Ten Commandments, as being valid and even necessary in practice. But now we're looking at Moshe. It's 40 years later. He's seen disappointment. He's seen rebellion. He's seen backsliding and pettiness. He's seen the death of an entire generation. And what does he do? He reassures us in the second Ten Commandments that all of those values and the rules, they haven't changed. The lessons of Torah and Halacha become even more deeply engraved upon the Jewish heart and the Jewish mind. Reminder, Halacha is indeed Jewish law. A lot of things happened to the Jewish people since Moshe's speech before his death. Many mistakenly thought that all the changes in technology, the economies, the world orders, Woodstocks, have made that Ten Commandments, the Torah, the Halacha, obsolete, irrelevant. So what does Moshe do? He stands and reminds us that the basic anchor of Jewish life, and in fact, the entire world, all of civilization, lies in those words at Sinai. Everything has changed. It's 40 years later, but human beings have not changed, and neither have God's instructions to us. You know, there was no greater leader or prophet than Moshe. He can't be replaced. But the world generally and the Jewish people particularly are able to exist and accomplish even after his demise. Moshe, the rabbis of the Talmud will tell us, was the sun, while Yehoshua was his disciple and his successor. He was the moon. But the moon was sufficient to to conquer and settle the land of Israel for the Jewish people, and to prevent any form of idolatry to compromise the faith of Israel. Jewish life after Moshe's death, it has to have been very different from the time of his life. A leader and a prophet like him only comes once in human history. But a new generation that did not know him personally arises. Leaders are matched to their times and their generations. They're never viewed in the abstract. The generation of Moshe perishes in the desert of Sinai. If the people never arrived in Israel, then Moshe could also not arrive. The leader and the generation that he leads are permanently intertwined. The secrets and the mysteries of human existence, from us they will remain hidden forever. Our job is to do. Shabbat Shalom u'mivorach from Holy Jerusalem.
Israel News Talk Radio's chat room. Just click the orange button at the top of the IsraelNewsTalkRadio.home page, log in as yourself or an anonymous guest, and join in on the fun. You'll meet other listeners from all over the world who listen to Israel News Talk Radio, and you can make new friends. Israel News Talk Radio's chat room. It's the closest you can get to being in the studio with us.
We love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candlelighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.